I want to ask you a question. And that question is, where are you looking? I'm sure most of everyone here knows this story from the Bible. It's Matthew 14:22-33. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter came down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for gathering all of us here this evening, God. We thank you for your never-ending grace and for always loving us no matter what we've done. I ask you to allow the words to flow from my mouth in the manner that you want them, and for the hearts of your people to be receptive of what you've asked me to say this evening, Father God. Make your presence known to all those who've been affected by the hurricane. I pray for all those needs that are here this evening, Father God. You know each person's needs, and you're able to move and minister in ways that we never could, God. We love you, Jesus, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk just a couple minutes this evening about changing your perspective. Changing where you're looking. What do you have your eyes on? So from the scripture, we can see that Peter tells Jesus that if you call me, I will come. Even if it doesn't make sense. I mean, what about you? Would you get out of the boat? I mean, even if you knew it was Jesus standing on the water there, walking, would you have got out of the boat? I'm betting that's why there's only one disciple that did. God has a plan for all of us, though. We're made with a purpose and a plan on our lives. God tells us over in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." But you have to be ready. The enemy fights what he fears. That's why oftentimes when we step out of the boat, things kind of get crazy and hectic, and oftentimes we start to second guess if we did the right thing. We didn't know it was going to be like that. You didn't know that when you stepped out by faith and did what you felt God called you to do, that everything was going to fall apart and you were going to feel stuck and there's nothing you could do to possibly fix it. That's exactly how Peter felt when he stepped out of the boat. He stepped out onto the water because Jesus called him. Jesus said, "Come," and he walked on the water. But when he started to look at the waves and he started listening to the wind, all the distractions in life, he started to sink. And I can tell you, the distractions are loud and they're in your face nowadays. It's very easy to get sidetracked with all the social media and the internet and the news and just everything going on in the world. You feel like you're sinking and you're stuck. But know this, the same God that called you out and said it's time, now's the time. It's time for you to fulfill what you have done in your life is the same God that's going to reach down and pick you back up. Maybe you keep falling back into the same sin because you keep focusing on the fact that you keep falling back into that sin. So in return, you create this cycle for yourself where you sin, you fall back into that sin that you thought you'd move past, you thought that you were better than, and you just keep your eyes on that sin and how you keep falling. You're like Peter walking across the water, looking down instead of keeping your eyes on Jesus. You keep looking at the sin you're in, saying, well, God wouldn't want me because I'm doing this, instead of changing your perspective, because God calls us to come as we are. If you're consistently waiting to be perfect and to have everything fixed, you're never going to answer the call. But maybe it's time to change your perspective and to look where you're meant to keep your eyes on the whole time anyway. Yes, you will fall. We all fall. But just remember that if you keep your eyes on Jesus, eyes on God, keep your eyes on your Lord and Savior, with him, all things are possible. If you look down, where are you going to go? You're going to sink, just like Peter did. Now, I don't know what everyone's going through. I don't know what your past is like. Everyone's different. Everyone's had different experiences. But I do know that you need to go to God and not be so focused on your own failure. Because if you're going to spend as much time focused on your own failure, you won't have any time to focus on God. So break the cycle. It's time to put your eyes on God. Over in Matthew 17:20, it says, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if there is faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Do you know it's not because of your faith that you can do amazing things? It's because of whom you put your faith in. And if you would just have faith, even that small as the mustard seed, you have no idea what we could accomplish. So change your perspective. Keep your eyes on God through it all. The highs, the lows, the difficult, the easy. Keep your eyes on your Lord and Savior. You have no idea what you're capable of doing. Maybe it's time to think a little bit differently. Instead of living for God, maybe we live because of God. It's about placing your faith in God, and it's all about surrender. And those two things are completely contrary to our flesh. It's extremely hard for us to surrender. Sometimes it's hard to have faith. But we have to understand, though, if we want to see God fight for us, if we want to see God move on our behalf, it's always going to happen when we come to the end of ourselves, and there's nothing we can do except put our faith and trust in God and let him reach his hand down and pull us back up out of the water. No one ever said living as a follower of Christ is something that's going to be easy. In fact, over in John 16:33, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I promise you that if you're willing to take the step, that just like Jesus reaching down to pick Peter back up from sinking, God will be there for you no matter what. There's three lessons from this first part of this passage I hope we kind of grasp. The first lesson is of faith. When you trust Jesus, God can do big, beautiful, awesome things. A life of faith and a follower of Christ is a life of adventure. Trust me, I'm learning this now. We often want to ask God to do amazing things in our lives and to use us. But oftentimes we're too afraid to take that first step of faith. I found this quote from John Ortberg. Sorry if I pronounced his last name wrong. It says, if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. The second lesson is a lesson of focus. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. It's great when you take that first step. But then what about the second step? And the third step? And the fourth step? Peter stayed on top of the water as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But when he got into trouble is when he lost his focus. He started looking at the wind and the waves instead. So don't lose your focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on your problems. Thirdly, is the lesson of forgiveness. God loves you and forgives you even when you fail, even when you lose faith, even when you lose focus and you mess up big time. But the awesome thing about God is his never-ending grace is all, and is all you need to do is ask him to forgive you. Just like Peter said, "Lord, save me." He was right there to pick him back up. Then Jesus will be right there to pick you back up as well. So we have those three lessons of faith, focus, forgiveness. Faith, God can do amazing things in your life. Focus, keep your eyes on Jesus. Forgiveness, God loves you and forgives you even when you fail. Now, let's jump to the last part of that scripture, Matthew 14, 32 through 33. It says, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So what happened there? It was another miracle. The storm immediately calmed down. The wind stopped, the sea was calm. That's what happens in your mind when you allow Jesus to enter your life and let him take control. He'll bring peace like no other. He's able to calm the storms that rage in your mind. The anxiety, the depression, the overthinking, the self-doubt. Romans 8:6 talks about this again. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So when Jesus stepped into the boat, he not only brought peace and calmness, he also brought life. If you read the NIV version of the passage, I've been reading all New King James, it says, "They," the disciples, "were already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it." So by calming the storm, he also saved their lives. Because if we look up what the term buffeted means, it says to strike repeatedly and violently, to knock someone over or off course, to afflict or harm someone repeatedly or over a long period. So by Jesus calming the storm that surrounded them, the storm that had buffeted them for so long, he brought peace and life back into that boat. Jesus can and still does do works like these today in our lives. He can bring a peace beyond understanding. He can calm the storms in our life. He can help pull us back up, even if our eyes start to lose focus and we start to slip and sink. That's his never-ending grace. But just like the disciples, the first step is to get into the boat. That's us accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But then once we're on the boat and we're a follower of Christ, then we have to take the first step out of the boat, trusting that Jesus is with us. And that's how we're going to walk in his plan and purpose. Just as the scripture says, but in order for us to be able to walk in his will and his plan and his purpose on our lives, we have to be willing to step out of the boat and trust that it is God that is calling us and he's not going to let us down. It's often hard and scary to take that first step. We're not going to grow by sitting in the boat, though. We're not going to be able to reach the lost souls. We're not going to be able to evangelize or disciple other followers. I mean, if everyone sat in the boat together, we would just be on a boat ride. I love how the Bible, though, ties back into itself. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen one of those graphs where it's got like all those overarching things where it ties points back together. David talks about in Psalms 101:3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. What David is saying is, I will put no unclean thing before my eyes. I won't look at anything that's unclean. It's not of God. Now, mind you, all of this David spoke on is way before Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I mean, isn't that awesome how David still knew that our body was a temple and that the Holy Spirit dwells in us? David knew that he needed to control what he looked at and where his eyes were going and what he was thinking about. He knew that he needed to keep his focus on God. Scholars believe that there was about 1,000 years between David and Paul writing both those. Yet they were both speaking on the same thing. Keep your body as a temple. We need to be careful what we watch and listen to. We need to be careful what we say and do. Thankfully, by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus, that once we accept him into our lives, our past is covered by the blood and we're born again as a new creation. But just as Peter in the water, we need to keep our focus. We need to read the word daily. We need to listen to music and watch TV shows that edify God. We need to control our tongues and watch how we speak. So I want to encourage you this evening to be like Peter. We got to trust in the Lord. If he calls you, but it doesn't make any sense to get out of the boat right now, just remember his ways are not our ways. Just because it doesn't make sense to us now doesn't mean it's not right. He's not going to let you down. But you have to keep your eyes on him. Don't let your past or the noise and distractions of this world pull your attention away from him. If you keep your focus on God, you're going to walk on the water and you're going to do amazing things for the kingdom and for the Lord.